for Odd Friday with Brady and Tammy here on KOHI. Odd Friday is presented by Preheim Computers. Contact Preheim today at Preheim.com. The opinions expressed on this program, not necessarily those of KOHI, staff, management, or advertisers. Now, here's Brady and Tammy.
Welcome, everybody, on this beautiful, dreary Friday.
It's not dreary.
It's great. It's dark. Sun's not out.
You're joining us for a special joint show with Melinda and Carol. Thank you guys for coming on with us and inviting us. You actually invited us. And we will be joined shortly by Mr. Rick Fletcher, who is in the middle of a break job right now and is going to be here shortly.
He's a new board member of Columbia River Fire and District.
Yes, and a long time employee at Classical 9 Fire, and he used to work at Columbia River Fire and Rescue. So hopefully he will be here shortly. But Tammy was going to get started. First of all, very quickly with our facts of today.
On this day in 1863, the first military draft by the U.S. There were exemptions, though. If you wanted out, it cost you $100.
Today, that's cheap.
That's today, yeah. And today, that would be $2,413.71.
Still cheap.
Yep. Then, the Organic Act of 1900 is where Congress transferred Hawaiian sovereignty to the U.S. They dethroned the Queen by force, making it a U.S. territory, and defined its territorial government. Hawaii would have an appointed governor, a judiciary, and a two-tiered legislature, with popularly elected senators and representatives. And yeah, sure, they were all old white men.
Well, they didn't really have much of a chance. They were like fighting us with spears and pineapples.
It was a overthrow the government move by the U.S. And then in 1930, construction begins on the Hoover Dam in the Black Canyon of the Colorado River on the border between the U.S. states of Arizona and Nevada, originally named Boulder Dam.
Hmm.
Then in 1942, Heinrich Himmler, together with a physician, started experimenting on women in Auschwitz concentration camps.
That's bad.
Yep. And then here's a pretty good one. In 1981, Arizona Judge Sandra Day O'Connor is nominated by President Ronald Reagan to become the first female justice on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Wow, 42 years ago.
Yep. So that's the facts of the day.
Cool.
Yep.
So, good morning, Melinda and Carol. Obviously, there's a lot of data to go over with Columbia River Fire and Rescue. I guess maybe we should first talk about PERS and some of the overpayments that were made on PERS. Our guest, Rich Fletcher, was one of those people that was in that group of people that were misclassified. I think there were 8 people listed that were misclassified as PERS.
Do you have those 8 people?
Yes. Motherway, Cade.
Marriott Nelson.
Marriott Nelson. These are the people with the credit cards. That's the wrong list.
No, they were Marriott Nelson and Motherway was classified wrong.
Yeah, as well, but I have that list somewhere on here. But I'll look for. We have a lot of notes. Yeah, you know. That list I was giving was the one that had credit cards.
Oh.
Which is a different list. That's a whole different issue. But what was interesting about the PERS is that the total overpayment for Marriott Nelson and Motherway, which were two of the two higher ones, was for 2 years, July the 19th through June of 2021, was Marriott Nelson was $13,636 and Motherway was $7,362. Jennifer Motherway did actually withdraw all of her PERS money. Which I think is sort of interesting because even if you extrapolate that money, I mean, you know, $7,000 over 2 years is what?
$3,500 a year.
Yeah. Even if you extrapolate it over 10 years, 20 years, it's not that much money when you consider the benefits of guaranteed returns on PERS. So I don't know if it was financially smart of them, even if they had to repay money to withdraw their money. So it kind of makes you wonder what their motivation on. What do you think, Melinda?
Well, okay, so PERS is complicated, and I am trying to find the exact bill as we speak, or the exact wording.
Of a new bill.
Right, but it talks about specifically there's a qualification in PERS that if you are a firefighter or a police officer, mm-hmm. or a public safety officer, that you can retire a little bit early, and I can't remember the exact date, but that you get 1.8 or 1.9% of your PERS upon retirement, and that is the state's way of thanking you for doing a high stress job.
So it's a lump sum payment. You just get.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just. I think it's added.
It's just added.
I don't know the details, but it's very, very, very narrow scope of jobs, right?
Right.
And while we can all say, you know, everybody feels stressed at their job, but this is like obviously extreme stress, you know, and danger, right? So there's a little discussion, and I'm going to see if I can find it during break or something, that they were going to add a couple additional folks to that, okay? But if you look at that bill, it does give that amount of money for a firefighter or a police officer. So if you are somebody in, you're an executive and you're not a firefighter, but you work within the district and somehow you were classified as a firefighter, you would qualify.
You would get almost a 2% bonus.
Well, I'll get the exact number, but. Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to get more money. And I just want to say that we still don't know how all of this came to be. This could have been going on for years, decades.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like this district has had a real forensic audit, or if it has, none of this has been covered.
This district has had a lot of skeletons in their closet for decades.
Right. For a long time.
But I don't know if either of you... remember, has there been a forensic audit? Because we're talking about, I'm not talking about the scandal, I'm talking about the money here. Like,
money,
this is all about money.
Yeah.
So, PERS is important, but also it's important, I think, to remember that the employee doesn't get to put what they want. Okay?
No. Right.
This is the district's responsibility to say, oh, we just hired Carol, and she's, you know, an aid support person level 10 or 4. As opposed to hiring Tammy, who's now is a firefighter, right?
Right, right.
Somewhere, it could have been an honest mistake. PERS is complicated. And anyone who's ever had to deal with it knows that there are all these classifications. So we don't know if this was done intentionally. And that is up for somebody else to make that clarification.
Well,
but again, it's not the employee's fault.
No.
Not the employee's fault, but they did talk about, I listened to the special board meeting live, and there was a lot of discussion actually about how it physically happens, and they very specifically said, oh, it's just a drop down box on the website. And they were like, yeah, it's just a drop down. Somebody clicks on the drop down and selects you're either fireman, police, or not. And then the question was asked, well, who did that?
Who knows?
Who can do that? And typically they said it is the person in charge of the HR, which at that time has been for many years Merritt Nelson.
Right.
While they didn't say, you know, definitively that she's the person that did it, they certainly implied that that would have been her role.
But then would she take instructions from someone else to do
it? Well,
that?
Yeah, see, that's the question.
That's another question. Does she answer? She answers to the chief, doesn't she?
She does.
So
everybody answers to the chief.
Right. So that could have been direction by the prior chief.
Well, and frankly, and again, now you know we're speculating. I can see how it happened with Mr. Tappan, who was literally the first time that we had a fire chief that wasn't a fireman.
Right.
And so I can just see that, you know, he gets this job, and now his classification would not allow him the benefits that the former chief had had, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm the fire chief. Shouldn't I have this?
Okay, hang on. Well, first of all, being a chief and dealing with all the administrative HR stuff is, I think, it's complicated. I just found the statute, okay?
Oh, good.
If for service as a police officer or firefighter, and this is, by the way, under ORS 238A.125, upon retiring at a normal retirement age, a vested pension program member shall be paid an annual pension for the life of the member as follows. For the service as a police officer or firefighter, 1.8% of final average salary, multiplied by the number of years of retirement credit attributable to service as a police officer or a firefighter. So for service, so basically, you're going to get 1.8% of your final average salary multiplied by, let's say, 25 years. So it does make a difference.
It could be a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it could be a lot. And that is the interesting thing is that So technically, unless that person has retired who was miscategorized, the state hasn't lost any money in this respect.
Yeah. Because they haven't did it. But like in the case of Merritt Nelson, who was getting about a little over six grand a year extra, you take $6,000 a year times 1.8.
No, well, you're not. How would they get $6,000? That happens upon retirement.
No, but the contribution.
She was over contributed
every year.
Every year by little over six grand.
And where did you? Okay, and where does that come from?
Forensic audit report that was released.
And why was she over contributed to?
Yeah, $13,636 in 2 years.
Yeah. And so,
Basically, you know,
a little over $6,000.
So how did that happen?
She was one of those people that was misclassified as a fireman.
So has she retired?
She did. She's left the district.
Because it wouldn't happen until upon retirement.
Well, no, but they also get a higher from that bill that you just read, but they also get an additional sum every paycheck.
Oh, yes.
Oh, for being
a fireman or a police.
Okay.
Yeah. And the confusion, which hopefully Rick joins us shortly, the one thing that I didn't understand is it mentions Merritt Nelson and it mentions Jennifer Motherway along with a couple of other people, and talks about their actual, there's a chart that actually talks about how much they were all overpaid. Nelson and Motherway are somewhat relevant is because Motherway actually withdrew her purse. And Merritt Nelson tried to withdrew her purse and the chief would not allow it. And in the forensic audit report, they basically say this raises a very suspicious flag because most people, you would have to be an idiot to take your money out of purse. Right? I mean, as a general rule, you cannot put your money any place and get guaranteed 8% return on your money, right, like you do with PERS.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's fair to, you know, say that. We don't know what those circumstances are. But I am looking at, I believe you're referring to page 11 of the expert report.
Yes.
From the financial folks who did this.
Think it was Aiken Blitz or something.
I think they hired a specific...
Aiken Blitz hired, yeah, it's on the first page.
A forensic group. Okay, so...
Marina Co. something.
Okay, so...
Aiken Blitz does all the legal work for all the special districts.
Right, but this is not Aiken Blitz. This is an actual forensic office.
This is Marina and Company.
Right,
okay. So yeah. It looks like there were 5 employees that were wrongfully classified, that the district applied incorrect rates higher than those stated for police and fire, and Tier 1 and 2 for the period of July 2009 through June 2021, all resulting in significant overcontribution by the district. Then it says the total amount. Then they have a chart of how much they've been overcompensated. Now, we don't, this, I just want to say again, employees don't get to put in their own purse. This is not, that's not how that works.
No.
Somebody at the district either intentionally or non-intentionally classified these folks in the wrong amount of money. And I'm not even sure how that happens, but you know, just because, and these, the employees are named, but I don't necessarily think, no, if we should name them, because there is,
well, it's a public document.
Any wrongdoing.
No, but it's a public
document. It's a public document.
It's a public document, that's
but,
true.
You know, but what I don't like about this audit, I don't, it's not final.
No.
I don't think they should have released any of this until the audit was completely done.
Well, they're saying that what they were, okay, so by that you mean that they still, they're missing records. Let's talk about that.
There's a lot of missing records.
And they also claim that they weren't able to do a complete audit because the district attorney's office, and I don't know, Carol, I don't know if you read that in the Oregonian and also in the Spotlight, there are, we know that the district attorney's office has subpoenaed some records, at least according to this, this company.
Well, and the district attorney has also confirmed that in separate reporting.
Well, and also, I have a source or two there, and I was told that there were records, this individual actually made the cabinet to put the records in, and it had double doors and locks, and when they did the remodel down there, all at once the records just disappeared, and they're gone. They can't find them.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. It was my understanding that in the past, I would say, you know, the past decade or so, that at board meetings, that the credit card, a lot of the statements would be out for purview. And I don't know, Carol, did you ever go to any of the meetings?
Well,
I have been to the meetings.
The report said that's not correct.
Well, that's what they used to do, supposedly, but they haven't been doing it in a while.
They said that the credit cards in the forensic report, they said that's part of the problem, is that these credit cards that were issued were set to be automatically paid from the district account with no board review or approval.
But that's not true.
Well, I'm just telling you what it says in the report.
That's not true, because I've been to Columbia River meetings, and they have said, oh, there's a credit card for such amount, you know.
But how long ago was that?
God.
Because this looks like from 2019.
It was prior to 2019.
Okay.
But the board would say, yeah, we moved to, you know, accept the bill. And that was basically it. They didn't ask questions what it was about. It was just whatever they said it was about.
I was contacted by a citizen who is familiar with the dealings of the board. And I was told that in the last 3 or 4 years, at least, they stopped doing that. That they did not bring the it was out there for all the board members to look, and any member of the public, if they chose to look, at what was being spent. So, I don't understand why whoever is supposed to be reconciling the bank accounts and the credit card accounts, they must go to their accountant every year. You have to file your taxes. So somewhere along the line, you think the accountant would say, hey, Carol just spent $38,000 at a hair salon, and she's, you know, what did I say she was? She was like, you know, support aid level five. You know, what's going on? So it seems like there haven't been checks and balances here for a long time.
Yeah, it seemed to have sort of started, and we don't know how long back this goes, but it said the process, the current credit card accounts that were in question were established with auto pay options in 2016.
So that's when Medina came in, isn't it?
Well, he supposedly recalled all the credit cards.
Wait, he hasn't been here since 2000.
When did he come in?
He's only been here 2 years,
I believe. 2 years, yeah.
That was like my third.
Yeah, it says here, a potential fraudulent credit card transaction whereby former employees used district credit cards for personal use. They indicated that when Chief Medina took leadership, the credit card usage was reviewed and restricted, and that all the cards were returned, and there was only one card issued to Medina.
Okay, well, let's talk about the charges. You want to talk about the credit card charges?
Yeah, because there's a bunch of them.
There's a bunch.
You know what I also thought was really interesting is they actually list the credit card numbers in the document. And I'm like, is that a smart idea? You literally put all the, I mean, they don't have the expiration dates or the little code, but they list the full and complete credit card number. And it's like, I mean, I guess we're hoping that all those cards were canceled. Except they also list Medina's credit card, which was issued just in June of 2021. So maybe it's no longer valid, but it's still like, is this a smart plan? I don't know.
Okay, so this is on page one of their overview, that their concerns, their questions, this is kind of a long list, but they said,
yeah,
that indicative of the lack of adequate design and internal controls, roughly, are that the inability to produce supporting documentation for credit card charges, the lack of proper approval of expenditures, the lack of proper review and approval of PERS contributions, the lack of proper review and approval of general procurement and purchasing, missing records, documentation in support of payroll, benefits, and related tax costs. This is all, and the timely and accurate reconciliation of bank accounts, cash receipts, and accounts receivable, and the lack of effective oversight of the finance director by the fire chief and the board of directors. Yes. Can we just talk about this before we get into the credit card thing?
Yes.
Ultimately, yes. Where does the buck stop in your opinion? Carol, I want to hear from you. Where do you think the buck stops in this debacle? Is it with the chief? Is it with the board? Who is it with?
Well, it's interesting listening to this because I think it, in the end, it has to be with the chief, but if it's from the past, I'm guess the only one in this group that has PERS, and I went through all the PERS stuff, and I earned it working for the police bureau, but not as a policeman. And
you didn't know you could click a box and get reclassified.
No, I know, and I'm going back right now to see what I can do. But I was forced to take it out 10 years after retirement because then it was earning too much interest, I guess. But I feel like this looks like we, as you said in the beginning, we need to look at the complete picture, the finished audit. We need to really, because I feel bad that people's reputations are being damaged over things that maybe they had nothing to do with, or maybe they did, I don't know. But I feel like, and it's being used because the chief is being questioned.
Well, I think as we know. I agree with you, Carol. It's a he said, she said. Everybody's mad. They're fighting. I mean, the in-house fighting is horrible. But then you got to take. This is kind of jumping off the PERS thing. But when Medina came, there was a $5 million. They were in the black $5 million, and now they can't even make payroll to pay the firemen. So where
What's this about payroll?
When Medina came in, they were $5 million the district in the black. Now they can't even make payroll. They're having trouble making payroll.
Well, I don't know if that's accurate information because.
Well, yeah, it is accurate information
because I looked also on their website. They have the financials there. And they showed a balance in the checking account as of June. They had over a $3 million balance in their checking account. So those people that have been saying that they're having problems making payroll, you know, their highest balance was in December, which was just over $7 million.
Maybe they got a tax payment in June.
No, it didn't show that. It did. Their highest balance was $7 million in December, which would make sense because it would have been right after all the taxes came, and we're about halfway through the fiscal year, and their balance showed over $3 million as of June. And I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't seem like it was that much off that you would expect. It's number 16. As of June, their balance was $3,059,179.79, and their highest was at $7,450,172 in December. So it does not show that they're in a situation where they cannot pay but now what it doesn't really make clear is I have also heard that they've borrowed against future tax returns.
Yeah, so maybe that's.
But I didn't see that anywhere in that financial report. But that doesn't mean it's not there. I'm just saying I looked at their financial reports and did not see any information about borrowing money.
Okay, well, I think it's time for a break.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you're paying attention.
You are not authorized to access this facility.
Having a problem with your desktop, laptop, or tablet top?
Warning. Self-destruct sequence has been initiated. Warp core overload in 7 minutes.
It's never too late to call Brady at Freeheim.com, 503-543-4884. Or email Brady on the web at Brady@Freeheim.com. Serving Columbia County for over 24 years, desktops, laptop, tablet top, cell phone top, and Brady makes house calls and business calls. So don't put up with a slow or no computer. Give Brady a call now, 503-543-4884 at Freeheim.com.
Brady is the only guy I know with a cardboard cut out of Mr. Spock behind his desk.
Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. You can make the air taste fresher, breathe as deeply as you please. You create a world of pleasure just by simply planting trees. Adding shade, creating beauty is just part of what they're worth.
This is Crystal Gale. Plant trees. For more information, go to arborday.org. You'll make a world of difference.
Incredible fun for everyone. Columbia County Fair. Come on and bring the whole family to the Columbia County Fair. Lots of arts and crafts to enjoy. We got animals and animals. Oh boy. Bring the kids. Ride the thrill rides too. Local cooking just for you. Incredible fun for everyone. Columbia County Fair.
Talking about Columbia River Fire and Rescue, and when we show up on the Oregonian as a front page article, it's usually not a good thing. And so we are going to be joined here shortly by Mr. Rick Fletcher, who is a newly elected board meeting, and their first board meeting will be this coming Tuesday. At 7 p.m. So that'll be an interesting board meeting. And hopefully Mr. Fletcher finishes with his break job and joins us. But we were just talking about the district finances. And, again, it's been reported to us that the district is not able to pay their payroll, but their financials do not show that. Their financials show for June over $3 million of money in the bank. So I'm sure that they don't have a $3 million a month payroll. So I don't know where that information is coming or if it's accurate that they're financially struggling when their financials show that they have over $3 million in the bank. But I don't know. Do you have anything to say about that, Melinda?
No, but Tammy, it's your source who said, can you explain what your source has said? I'm a little confused about. If they have $3 million in the bank, you know this for sure, Brady?
It was part of their minutes, I believe. Okay. I read their minutes and they had the financial reports and they had the last 12 months of the cash flow statement listed in that report. And their high balance again was in December of this last year, which was almost $7.5 million. And as of June 30th, which was just a week ago, their balance was just over $3 million.
And my source says they're having trouble making payroll. So,
well, there's obviously inconsistent information there about what the board reported and what we're.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me that the board's lying.
Well, it wouldn't just be the board because the board doesn't prepare the financials.
Who does?
I would guess their current CFO would be the new
what's his name?
Sanchez. Where it would come from. So maybe
if you are currently employed by Columbia River Fire and Rescue and you're listening to the show and you've been told that your payroll is going to be late or there isn't enough money, you're welcome to call the station. You can call in anonymously and leave a message with Marty and let us know, because I think that's something we need to know. So while we're talking about audits, I thought it was interesting that if you look on page, I think it's page 3 of the Columbia River Fire and Rescue Expert Report, it said that this company, this forensic audit company, had requested access to the working papers of the district's independent audit firm for the period spanning the first year of engagement through the most recent audit report issued. So they were looking like 19, probably 18 to 22 or something.
Yeah.
So does anyone know who their independent audit firm is and why?
I don't know. And you would think that that's public, but it hasn't been very much talked about. Of course, if you were the independent auditor, you might be wanting to remain anonymous at this point in time with all of the troubles that they're accusing. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole if I was.
Well, let's talk about the credit card charges. I suspect why I know why they were charged at the hair salons, but I'm going to wait and get confirmation on that. And I don't think necessarily it was related to fraud. I think it was related to the business of one of the employees, which was absolutely part of the job, which will probably become clear later, but I don't want to get into it now because I don't have proof of this. But it basically, the district communicated to the audit firm that there was a potentially fraudulent credit card transactions whereby the former employees may have used district issued cards for personal use or for unauthorized purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So these include charges at hair salons, air, lodging, and meal travel costs for which there is no documentation of official business purpose.
You're right.
Excessive charges to Amazon and grocery stores coupled with lack of documentation of official business purchase.
Yes.
So, let's see. The district established credit card accounts with U.S. Bank in 2016, which I think is interesting. We've had a lot, basically the same board for years until the most recent election.
Yeah.
And Carol's feeling was that really the buck stopped with the fire chief, but I think the buck stops with the board, ultimately.
I do too, actually.
Well, you're right.
Because
the chief should has the overseeing of the employees, and so the board should be working together. You're right.
So it's interesting what happened in 2016 and why did they decide to establish credit cards? So it turns out the statements would be obtained, and basically that each month the statements were mailed to the district to the attention of Merritt Nelson, and then she was the district's finance director. And then the credit card charges were set up to be automatically withdrawn from the checking account, bypassing the typical control provided by board review of checks issued and supporting documentation. That right there, fire chief and board, they had to agree to that. Are we all in agreement here? And this says this is a significant example of management override of internal control, in that the finance director established the credit card accounts, the payment method to be used, issued the district cards to the staff and herself. Now, that's not, that isn't necessarily wrongdoing. It's just unusual not to have oversight.
And no controls. And I mean, it's a pretty significant amount of money. Like for the time period, I think was over the last 2 years, Merritt Nelson had $81,000 in charges on her credit card.
What page is that one?
That's a lot.
Is that for office supplies? And
well, they don't know because they can't find receipts for them.
Well, it should, if it's on Amazon, then it should, there should be.
Well, that's another problem, is that unlike, I mean, I'm a tiny company, and, you know, when we started, when Amazon was a way of life for most businesses nowadays, and you know, you can go in, you set up a business account on Amazon. It is not complicated.
Right.
And the way that it works when you set up a business account is you have a person that it approves all purchases. You don't let people use their own Amazon account.
Right.
That's just ridiculous. You have a business account. Everybody gets their own name. They get their own login name for their your Amazon account, and you can let them either approve the purchase, or the way I did it is I had my employees go through, and they would, I'd say, you know, you tell me what you want to get, and then it comes to me, and I have to approve the purchase. I mean, I'm a tiny company, and apparently that's not what the Fire and Rescue did. They just let everybody use their own Amazon account.
Private account.
Their own private account. Account. It's like, how did that happen?
So here from 2016, when the credit cards were issued, through 2022, Merritt Nelson had $204,080 in charges. So divide that by six, or excuse me, six. That's 6 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is roughly $33,000 a year.
Yeah.
Let's see. O'Connor. I'm not sure who O'Connor.
He's no longer there. Ian O'Connor.
$209,784.
Yeah. Those
so
are the two.
$34,000 a year.
Yeah.
And Smythe, the chief. Is it Smith or Smythe?
Smythe.
I think it's Smythe.
$42,000. Lerner, $64,000. Fletcher, $61,000. This is over 6 years, so that's 10 a year. And then Monica Cade, $38,000. So 38 divided by 6. It's a roughly $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to remind people, Monica Cates, her whole package was paid for by a grant, and I believe there's
there's some disagreement about that, because that was why they cut that position, because Medina said that actually it wasn't being covered by the grant.
Oh, yeah, the fire.
And so I don't know if it's true or not. I just know that. The reason that they cut it is he claimed that there were expenses beyond what the grant covered, and it was costing the district.
Okay.
And
we'll have to get more on that.
That wasn't related to the fire district.
Right.
Well,
I'm just saying.
That's a debate. Yeah.
I'm just saying what he said publicly.
So the credit card purchases under travel on page 6 of, if you want to follow along at home, it is on the Columbia River Fire and Rescue page. Go to administrative and then go down to, was it June 30th, and go to the report.
Yeah.
So page 6, it says that their analysis focused on travel expenses incurred by district staff, including multiple purchases of airfare by Ms. Motherway from 2019 through 2021. And it talks about all of the purchases, and she is flying on Southwest, which is, I will note, is usually cheaper. But it was worth noting that they correlated her credit card charges for lodging, meals, public parking, transportation expenses, as illustrated down below. So there's a table.
Yeah.
And okay, I don't understand. It's a month of travel. Four of them, they don't know where she went, which I don't understand why.
Right.
She went to Cleveland, Ohio, and then she went to Las Vegas. So.
Yeah, multiple times. Actually.
Now, I want to say this is no way is proof that this person has done any wrongdoing at all. Just because they couldn't find supporting records doesn't mean they don't exist. And it says that it's notable that Motherway had no education, training, related charges on credit cards assigned to her, indicating a business purpose for the travel. It is also reasonable that if there had been a practical business purpose for the travel, there would have likely been lodging and meals corresponding with the airfare costs. Based right. on our analysis and the lack of any supporting documentation for the charges, we identified questioned airfare and travel costs totaling $2,174.52. And while there potentially could be a business purpose for the September 21 travel to Cleveland, Ohio, without supporting documentation, we also question these costs.
Yeah.
They're questioning it. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily, it was wrong.
Not valid.
But I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, some of these records, you can sort of understand why it's hard to find documentation. These charges are from 2021. They're not very long ago. It's like everybody knows you have to have receipts from 2021. Why is there no documentation?
Are the receipts in the missing file cabinet?
Maybe. I mean, they couldn't find any data. And then, of course, we haven't even talked about the fact that there's two accounts that are in Motherway's name that the district has no access to and has no records of. Because they also talk about they audited all the bank accounts and monitored and looked at the transfers in and out of those accounts and did not see any unauthorized transfers out of the bank account except for two accounts that they can't get any records for and that the district has lost control of.
What page is this on?
Let's see. I think it's on the next... The next one, next page down. No, let me tell you that. Let's find it. No, it's farther up, I think, about the bank accounts.
While you're looking for that, I just want to say that also, just because the district's records are missing, as you laid out earlier, Tammy.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean that these employees have, there's wrongdoing?
No, that I never said there was.
No, I just want to be very clear. We're not saying there's wrongdoing, but where are the records? And the district someone during the construction may have dumped all these records intentionally or otherwise.
Right. We just don't know yet.
Right. And just there isn't backup doesn't mean it wasn't approved.
There was something in one of the reports that I read a while back that a finance person leaving said we need to purge all these records. And if that happened, it wasn't the current, not Merrick, but then who was it and how did that happen? But it's kind of hard for me because I know some of these people and I like them and I can't believe that they deliberately misused the system. And it's hard to be speculating when we really know so little about what's
right.
going on.
Right, right.
And it's on page
we also
three.
Set ourselves up for all sorts of litigation.
We could talk about some things we do know. We do know the chief spent, what, $600,000?
Over
to remodel his office
mm-hmm.
downtown. We do know the chief spent, I don't know how much, on a custom truck for himself. We mm-hmm. do know that.
Yep.
We do know the chief refused to pay overtime for a fireman to fix the flat tire on the ambulance or the fire truck and waited 3 days.
Yep.
We do know that the chief refused to have the pipes fixed in the fire station and sewage was dripping on the fireman. That stuff we do know.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of complaints from a lot of firemen that talked about that.
Yeah, in public.
In public. And we do know that there was grumbling about the remodel of the office when, quote, there was supposedly no money.
And there were significant repairs needed at fire stations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And those are things that we can talk about and we can not put ourselves at risk. But it's hard to discuss people's intentions or what they might have done. You know, I mean, it's just, as I say, I spoke to somebody involved in this the other day, and they said, people who know me well enough to know I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
And
we're
I agree.
We're not talking about people's intentions, though. We are reading from a report.
Right.
Well, they were saying they did this, and they and there was no proof, and, you know, that kind of stuff sort of leads to that. We're not deliberately talking about
it. No, right. No, we are reading what is in the report. I just want to be very clear. We're not making accusations.
Yeah, this
we
is the
public document.
So at the bottom of page 3, it says, it lists the analysis of all their checking accounts and bank accounts, and said that we analyzed all the transfers, and then it says the district provided evidence that two additional accounts exist that were identified as the address of the district but in a registered name no longer associated with Columbia River Fire and Rescue. The first account was identified as Oregon Fire Recruitment Network, and the second was identified as Lower Columbia Regional Training with Jennifer Motherway. Because neither of these accounts are in the name of the district has been unable to obtain bank statements or any activity on these accounts. A subpoena has been issued to obtain these bank records, so we don't know what was going on those accounts.
Well, hang on now. Just because they were registered to the district, let me put it this way. The address was the district office. That may have been for convenience sake. We don't know.
It has the name. It's Oregon Fire Recruitment Network and Lower Columbia Regional Training.
Region Training, yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out when.
What went on in those accounts. But
right.
It's like, how do you as a district allow an account to be set up and not have a succession plan when somebody leaves? I mean, to me, that's also mismanagement.
Who was the fire chief? Okay, so Jay Tappan stepped down. And who was the fire chief between Jay and Medina?
What's his name?
Mike?
No.
No, it was...
From fire, from Scappoose.
From Scappoose.
We'll think of his name. His brother, Grayson.
Grayson.
But it was like he was sort of an interim while they were hiring Medina.
Well, no, he was not an interim. The districts were...
They were going to merge.
I mean, that was their plan. The boards took steps for Columbia River and Scappoose to sort of begin merging, and they were sharing personnel. They were sharing the fire chief. And
to cut costs,
which I thought was a smart plan, and it went on for 2 years, and at the end of 2 years the sort of plan was laid up is that we would do a formal merger between the two districts, which would have required a vote of the population. But instead of that happening, after the 2 year period of time, they, in fact, severed their ties.
Okay.
And ended that agreement that they had with Scappoose, and they went through, and we never have gotten a clear understanding of why they severed ties or what happened. And I actually attended that joint board meeting, and you could tell there was a lot of tension between the boards. And that people were really ticked off at each other, but they didn't say it in public.
No. Privately, I was told they didn't want to, Scappoose didn't want to be saddled with St. Helens debts.
Yeah.
And I said, you're smart.
And basically, not just that, but their perception that the district was being mismanaged and the staff overpaid. And that's what we had sort of in St. Helens. And that's what we had heard. But then I actually went and looked up the information about relative payments of what a fireman makes in the district. And there's not much difference.
Okay.
At the high end, a Scappoose rural fire district person makes $97,800 a year. And at the low end, a Columbia River Fire and Rescue person makes $99,252. So it's not a significant difference. Like we were told that.
Like $20,000 difference.
And it's not true. Now it is true.
But then they go in tiers, so.
It is in tiers because the range, monthly range for Scappoose is $6,883 to $8,150. And Columbia River and Fire is $6,804 to $8,271. And the only ones that is a significant difference is Clascanine, which is the only other district apparently in our county. And they make at a top tier, they make $76,000. So there it is, a $20,000 difference in pay, but not between Scappoose and St. Helens. So the reporting that we had heard about the discrepancy is factually not correct. So I don't know why the agreement fell apart.
Okay, well, these two cities have had a long-standing issue with collaborating, but I think maybe that, maybe eventually that will get to a better spot. I just want to remind everyone that we are waiting to hear from Rick Fletcher. Rick is... he is an employee of the Columbia River Fire and Rescue, and he is...
I think he's in Clascanine.
He's in Clascanine now.
What? Oh, he doesn't work for Columbia River?
No.
He quit and went to Clascanine.
Clascanine. But he is a board... But he did run for the board.
He did run for
and
the
he
board.
Won.
Yes.
Right. And so we just have a couple minutes before we're going to go to break, and then when we come back, I do want to talk about the next level, the payroll... And and some of the taxes that weren't filed, or some of the we'll talk about all that. But before we do, I did want to touch on the fact that the board members, the newly elected board members, which were Welby, Fletcher, and Kimbrick, Austin Kimbrick, Zimbrick.
They still haven't been
sworn in, right?
No.
I think they might have had a ceremony. On July 1st, I heard something about that.
Well, then I heard that they postponed it.
Okay. They were supposed to have one?
I think. I'll check it during break.
But their first official board meeting is Tuesday. It's coming Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, by the way, just reminder, the report that we're reading on is it's an audit firm called Marino & Company, and they're out of Tualatin, and they were hired by the district or Bullard Law to come in and do the forensic audit.
Yes.
And they are saying themselves that it's not complete because there's missing records, and then there's a subpoena ongoing that involves the district attorney's office. And the newspaper, well, incorrectly said that district attorney Jeff Oxier is looking at it, but for those of you who don't know, Jeff has stepped down. He has left his position.
Oh, he's still there today. Today's his last day.
Okay, today's his last day. And he's leaving to go to return to Multnomah County. And so we're waiting to hear from the governor to see who she is going to replace him with. But I'm assuming that this office is still investigating. Just because he is leaving, obviously, his office is still going to continue looking at this matter. But anyway, it is time for break. I think, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more about this audit. So stay with this joint show of Odd Friday and Setting the Record Straight. We'll be right back.
You don't own me.
Been listening to Odd Friday with Brady and Tammy here on KOHI.
on demand at cleancolumbiacounty.info. Email Brady at preheim.com. And tune in again next time for Odd Friday with Brady and Tammy.
More talk, more news, more weather.